Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news, WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The Moore County Sheriff's Office is investigating the death of a man who was shot by a deputy. We'll explain what we've learned in the past hour.
Also, students at UNC Chapel Hill are demanding action on gun safety after two lockdowns in less than 3 weeks. We're live with their message to state lawmakers.
And Hurricane Lee is churning up rough surf with some waves nearby over 20 feet tall. I'll let you know how long the rip current threat lasts coming up. We're following breaking news this noon. Students at UNC Chapel Hill are walking out of class to demand action after two lockdowns in the past 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, the students and local grassroots organizers rejecting statements from Republican House Speaker Tim Moore, who suggested arming students. WRAL's Monica Casey joins us live on campus where the walkout just began. Monica.
Yeah, Ken, students are in a class change right now, so this group here behind me is expecting a lot of people to come through this area and engage with students' demand action. This comes after the second lockdown on this Chapel Hill campus in less than 3 weeks. The March for Our Lives chapter here held a rally after the last lockdown when a professor was killed. Students are now protesting again after a man pulled a gun on employees at a bagel shop in the student union on Wednesday afternoon. The organizers here say they are upset about North Carolina House Speaker Tim Moore's recent comments about the lockdowns. He questioned the effectiveness of gun-free zones like Chapel Hill's campus. Moore has a son here at UNC and says this issue is personal to him. Democratic legislators have pushed back on his comments, saying students should not be able to bring guns here. Now, the organizers I spoke with just before this event started say all of this is about healing and then action to prevent gun violence on campuses like this one. Ken?
Call to action by some very concerned students there at the campus of UNC Chapel Hill. Monica, thanks. Well, Durham police say there was no credible threat against a local high school. Hillside High School was placed on a brief lockdown this morning after parents saw the threat on social media. No specific school was mentioned in the post. As a precaution, officers put Hillside on lockdown while they investigated. The lockdown was lifted 15 minutes later.
The Moore County Sheriff's Office is investigating the death of a man after a deputy-involved shooting. It happened on Pinewood Drive in the West End area of Moore County, which is a small neighborhood right off Highway 211. Deputies responded there around 6 last night after getting a disturbance call. The caller reported her son was outside with a knife. She says her son told her he had killed the neighbor. Moments later, she said her son was going after her other son. When the first deputy arrived at the home, he ordered the man to drop the knife. The man refused and began to advance towards the deputy. The deputy repeatedly told the man to drop the knife, but he didn't and even kept walking towards the deputy. The deputy then shot the man. That deputy immediately began life-saving measures, but the man did not survive. The FBI is now investigating the shooting. Police in two counties are working to piece together an apparent murder-suicide. It started in Fayetteville, where a woman, Jessica Moore, was found dead in a home last night. A short while later, police in Southern Pines found a man who had shot himself. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Police believe he shot Moore.
Well, our news continues now. Thousands of members of the United Auto Workers Union hit the picket line at midnight after failing to reach a contract with Detroit's Big Three automakers. NBC's Jay Graves in Wayne, Michigan, at a Ford assembly plant location with how these union workers plan to keep executives guessing.
Well, the targeted walkouts began at midnight and continue now into the midday. It started at this Ford plant in Wayne, just outside of Detroit, as well as a GM plant in Missouri and a Stellantis plant, which builds Chrysler vehicles in Ohio. Take a look at the picket line behind me. And right now, just under 13,000 of the United Auto Workers, 145,000 employees, have gone from the assembly line to the picket line. This is part of a new strategy never done before by the union. They call it a stand-up strike, where they are just targeting certain work groups within certain plants, with the idea, leaders say, to keep the automakers kind of guessing and wondering where the strike may go next. And they say they do have the ability and likely will expand this strike as it continues to go on. Now, an issue here is obviously pay. The union wanting a 40% raise over the next 4 years, but they also want more pension benefits and they want more job security. They say they want full pay for a four-day work week. And what the automakers have said is that those demands are just too, their words, extreme. They say they are willing to provide a double-digit pay raise, that they will increase pensions, and they'll offer some more days off as far as vacation or personal time off, but that the four-day work week for full pay is a non-starter, that that is not going to happen as far as they are concerned. So you can see both sides here very much at odds and very far apart, both saying as the talks broke down yesterday that neither was negotiating in good faith. If there's any good news in all of this, it does look like they are willing to get back to the bargaining table, and that could happen as early as today. That's the latest from here in Wayne, Michigan. I'm Jay Gray. Now back to you.
Well, coming up in our next half hour, WRAL's Kelsey Coffey explains how the strike could affect you the next time you have an auto repair or if you're in the market for a new vehicle.
Hurricane Lee is off the coast of North Carolina, bringing breezy conditions here, but dangerous surf to the coast of North Carolina. Take a look at these images of Highway 12. Rip current danger will be high throughout the weekend, along with some flooding and erosion. Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at when the hurricane begins to pull away. And it's a massive storm, which is why we're going to feel the rip current effects.
I mean, it's impressive to think that's what Highway 12 looks like from a hurricane that's more than 500 miles away and continues to move away from us. But the big concern for safety this weekend is going to be the rip current threat. It's really not going to be safe to get in the water for most of the North Carolina coast. The one exception where there is still a risk of rip currents, but not as high, some of our Brunswick County beaches. And that's because we have a strong northeast wind. So to some degree, some of the Brunswick County beaches will be protected from the rip currents. But let's talk about these swells. We're talking about wave heights of over 35 feet close to the center of Lee. And even closer to our coast, we're seeing 6 to 10 foot waves. And just offshore, it's 12 foot waves. So it's really not safe to even go boating in the water for many areas. Hurricane Lee continues to move to the north northeast. It's speeding up, so it will speed up as it moves away from us. Once we get past the weekend, the threat for rip currents should subside. It's no longer symmetric, a sign that it is weakening as it's set to make landfall in Nova Scotia this weekend. We also have Tropical Depression number 15. It formed 1 hour ago. Top winds 35 miles per hour, but it is projected to become a hurricane. Hurricane Nigel is expected as we get into early next week, and it could strengthen into a major hurricane as it approaches Bermuda. At this point, most models are showing a trough coming in and picking this system up as we get into the middle and end of next week, veering it to the north northeast. We'll keep an eye on it for you. I'll have a closer look at your weekend forecast coming up.
And I'm Brian Schrader in the WRAL Live Center. Greensboro is getting ready for a vice presidential visit. Vice President Kamala Harris is going to be at North Carolina A&T State University this afternoon. This is video of her visit to Hampton University in Virginia yesterday. The White House says that she is on a college tour trying to mobilize younger voters. At North Carolina A&T State this afternoon, Governor Roy Cooper will join the vice president. That's supposed to happen around 2:30. We'll have coverage beginning today at 4 on WRAL News.
Wake County Public Health anticipates offering the Moderna doses to all clinics beginning early next week. The CDC recommends everyone 6 months and older get the new COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccination locations are located throughout the county and are open 5 days a week. All clinics will administer the new Moderna COVID-19 booster shot. Visit the Public Health Department website to schedule your appointment. Well, patients may soon be able to use the psychedelic MDMA to help treat post-traumatic stress disorder, even though it's currently illegal. MDMA, also known as ecstasy or Molly, combined with talk therapy, has proven effective in reducing symptoms of PTSD. The company behind the prescription psychedelic plans to submit its results to the FDA to build its case for approval. In 2017, the FDA granted MDMA breakthrough status, which allows the development of promising experimental drugs to be fast-tracked.
Today marks the start of Hispanic Heritage Month. It always starts in the middle of the month. And this weekend, downtown Raleigh will host a big celebration. La Fiesta del Pueblo is the Triangle's largest festival celebrating Latin American culture. It features live music and dance performances, vendors, food trucks, educational booths, and activities for the whole family. La Fiesta del Pueblo is happening Sunday on Fayetteville Street from noon to 6. WRAL News is celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. Tonight at 5:30, we'll introduce you to an artist who tells her life story with the stroke of a brush. She's an artist in residence in Raleigh, where you can see her work tonight at 5:30.
Next at noon, a new era on NBC's long-running political roundtable, Meet the Press. Kristen Walker debuts as moderator of Meet the Press this Sunday. The new host will preview her interview with former President Donald Trump.
Also, hear from a man struck by lightning and lived to tell about it. Why doctors are calling his survival a miracle.
And the amount of money a federal jury just awarded a same-sex couple whose marriage license was delayed by a former county clerk for religious reasons.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Welcome back. This is a live look at Carolina Beach. Beautiful weather to be out on the sand, enjoy a stroll at the beach, but do not get in the water. The rip current danger from Hurricane Lee, very much a threat throughout the weekend.
NBC's Kristen Welker debuts as moderator of Meet the Press this Sunday. Her first interview is with former President Donald Trump. Kristen asks the former president about his Mar-a-Lago documents case.
A new charge suggests you asked a staffer to delete security camera footage so it wouldn't get into the hands of investigators. Did you do that? It's false.
But let me tell you what
would
else.
You testify to that under oath?
I'll testify to that under oath. It's a fake charge by this deranged lunatic prosecutor who lost in the Supreme Court 9-0, and he tried to destroy lots of lives. He's a lunatic. So it's a fake charge. But more importantly, the tapes weren't deleted. In other words, there was nothing done to them. And they were my tapes. I could have fought them. I didn't even have to give them the tapes, I don't think. I think I would have won in court. When they asked for the tapes, I said, sure, they're my tapes. I could have fought them. I didn't even have to give them. Just so you understand, though, we didn't delete anything. Nothing was deleted.
So that's false. The people who testified.
Number one, the statement is false. Much more importantly, when the tapes came, and everybody says this, they weren't deleted. We gave them 100%.
You can catch her full interview with the former president this Sunday on Meet the Press. Well, for the first time in history, the Justice Department has charged the child of a sitting president. Special Counsel David Weiss indicted Hunter Biden on 3 criminal charges in connection with a gun he purchased in 2018. While buying a revolver, Hunter Biden lied on a federal form when he swore that he was not using and was not addicted to any illegal drugs. At the time, he was struggling with crack cocaine addiction when he purchased that weapon. Biden's attorneys accused Weiss of bending to political pressure from Republicans.
A new video just into the WRAL Live Center where a jury has acquitted 3 men in a plot to kidnap Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer. It happened this morning. This was the last trial connected with that investigation. In all, 14 men have faced charges in that alleged plot. 9 have been convicted. Investigators say it was hatched in the summer of 2020 at an anti-government summit in Ohio over anger surrounding government-imposed COVID restrictions.
Brian, thanks. Police in Memphis are searching for a mother of 2 who has not been seen since she went on a riverboat cruise. Tamia Taylor and a coworker went to Memphis to celebrate her 21st birthday. He says they met up with friends, but at some point she went to the restroom alone and did not return. The riverboat company says video showed her returning to harbor, but her family says she has not returned home. Today marks 60 years since 4 black girls were killed in a church bombing orchestrated by the Ku Klux Klan in Birmingham, Alabama. Nearly 2 dozen others were injured in that attack. 11-year-old Denise McNair, along with 14-year-olds Cynthia Wesley, Carol Robertson, and Addie Mae Collins, were getting ready for the Youth Day worship service at the 16th Street Baptist Church when the bomb went off. The massive explosion blew a hole in the side of the building and knocked down power lines.
It's a homecoming that's heaven sent. A Virginia man is recovering with his family after being struck by lightning while riding his motorcycle this past weekend. The lightning bolt traveled through his helmet, down his body, and through his leg and exited his leg. The electricity burned his silver chain necklace into his skin, setting his bike on fire and sending him flying.
I was like 2 miles from my house. So I was like, I can make it home. I know where I'm going. And next thing I know, I wake up on the ground with like 20 people or so around me.
He flipped and flipped and flipped. And then he smacked the pavement and smacked and smacked and then just slid like a slip and slide. The first thing I did was put my hand on his neck for a pulse. There was none. None. So I looked at my watch and I said, hey, Siri, I need to start CPR.
Wow. 4 minutes and 12 seconds later, he regained consciousness. Doctors say it's a miracle he didn't break any bones or seriously hurt his head, just a ruptured eardrum, burns, and bruises.
Amazing. Mm. People in Atlanta are cleaning up after 3 hours of rain fell in just 15 minutes, flooding roads and bringing down trees. At least one massive tree was taken down by the storms. This one fell right onto a preschool playground. No one was injured. Some video showed students at Clark Atlanta University in waist-high water. There were also reports of water rescues due to cars getting stuck in high waters. No storms for us today, nothing but sunshine and beautiful blue skies. And Kat, looking at that view out there, it feels as nice as it looks outside.
It does. Don't you just want to be outside in a hammock today? I mean, the sky is bright blue in Franklinton. A live look from Mason and Main downtown there. It's just a beautiful day all around. So try to make some outdoor plans. You're going to want to do that today and tomorrow. If you want to get out for a nice long dog walk, temperatures should be right around 80 degrees at 3 o'clock. So it is still warm this afternoon. As we get towards sunset, we're at 73 degrees at 7 o'clock. After that, we dip into the 60s. 10 o'clock tonight, 63 degrees. It's going to be nice and crisp feeling outside. And check out these numbers. The temperatures that you are going to wake up to tomorrow morning around sunrise, we expect to fall into the low to mid 50s. 50 in Roxboro. Not out of the question. Roxboro could be in the upper 40s. We should be right around the low to mid 50s in the Triangle. 53 in Rocky Mount, 56 degrees in Fayetteville tomorrow morning. Really comfortable start to the day tomorrow, but we are going to be looking at changes by the time we get to Sunday. I want to show you an updated look at Futurecast and Sunday's rain chances. You're not going to run into any of that rain around here tomorrow. It's mostly sunny and beautiful, but the mountains could see a few pop-up showers and storms. It's not going to be widespread. Sunday is going to be the day to watch. Check out Sunday morning. This is 10 a.m. The mountains are likely to see the rain pushing in late morning into the early afternoon. We see the clouds filling in here later in the morning, and then these storms are set to arrive as we get towards Sunday evening. This would be dinner time and later. So if you have plans early in the day, I think you'll be in okay shape. But late Sunday is when you may need to adjust some of those plans heading into Sunday night. And we may need to bump up rain chances even more. So check in for an update today starting at 4. Our severe weather risk on Sunday does include areas east of I-95, especially toward the coast. We'll keep an eye on the potential for an isolated storm with strong winds. The good news is, as we get to Sunday, we do have that chance of an isolated storm at Centerfest and Durham tomorrow, I think should be better. And tomorrow for the St. Jude walk and run, it just doesn't get much better than this to be outside running a 5K or walking one. 67 at 9 a.m. as you are registering, getting ready by 10 a.m. 70, and by 11 o'clock, 73 degrees. Should be a really nice start in the morning. And for college football, we've got great weather on Saturday as well. Temperatures should be right around the low to mid 80s for all of our games. It should be a jam-packed weekend full of football. We've got UNC, Fayetteville State, Duke, and NC State all at home. 86, mostly sunny and low humidity. Some really nice tailgating weather outside. Sunday is the day where we've got the wrinkle in the forecast with the chance of rain and storms. So if you need to get some yard work done or something like that this weekend, Saturday is going to be your day to do it. After that, it's mainly dry heading into next week. High temperatures are in the mid-80s. Not as cool at night, but low temperatures should be in the lower 60s. It ends up being a pretty nice week with low humidity ahead next week as well. Got good weather all around. Sunday, just beware of some of those storms.
We don't mind the little rain here and there, but we will embrace these fall-like temperatures for sure.
We will.
All right.
Kat, thank you.
Well, coming up in our news starting at 5 this afternoon, a Subway sandwich shop was shut down during a recent health inspection. 5 on Your Side explains the problem that forced this eatery to close in this week's restaurant ratings.
And coming up tonight at 6, a new weapon in the fight against an invasive insect in North Carolina. Why the battle against spotted lanternflies is going to the dogs. Small businesses are making a shift to better connect with consumers. We'll explain why real photographs are more popular than stock images.
And a household name brand that's more than 100 years old getting a new look. Why Johnson & Johnson is ditching its familiar cursive writing logo. Welcome back at 1222. You're looking live at a very sunny Beaufort, and we're enjoying some fall-like temperatures on this summer day. No doubt Beaufort will be a popular destination this weekend.
Have you noticed a difference in the types of images you're seeing in online ads lately? You're not alone. Evan Brown explains a new trend in small business advertising from Getty Images.
As social media continues to evolve, so do the users helping to power all that content. And now small businesses are finding new ways to connect with those users by personalizing what they see. It's all part of an emerging trend first reported by Getty Images using their visual GPS research. They're seeing a shift away from the use of stock content on social media, with small businesses now stressing authenticity over traditional sales techniques. And it's given rise to several new social media movements, including the so-called no-filter trend.
It was almost a rejection of the previous decade that was incredibly slick, where you saw this kind of transition into content that looked more raw and more real.
Getty also says small businesses are starting to understand the importance of using content that represents the real-world values of their customer bases. One prominent example is this image, which resonated with LGBTQ customers because they found him to be an authentic representation of their community.
They found him the most trustworthy. They found him the most aspirational. They found him the most exciting. And so I think that is something that's really powerful.
And these trends are expected to continue as social media becomes more of a marketing tool.
Ultimately, they want content, especially visual content, that looks real, that reflects their values, that reflects people that they might know in their own lives.
That was Evan Brown reporting. Getty says 3.2 billion images are shared on social media every day.
Google has reached a $93 million settlement with the state of California in its tracking location case. The settlement resolves the allegations Google was collecting the data of consumers without their consent. Google plans to take future actions to prevent those practices that apply beyond California to other states. As part of the settlement, Google would have to disclose to users that their location information could be used for targeted ads. Johnson & Johnson getting a new look after more than 100 years. The company is trading its cursive logo for a more modern look. The company says the change will bring together its med tech and pharmaceutical segments to demonstrate its collective power in healthcare. The new logo, though, will still be red.
That'll take some getting used to. Amazon is putting up $40 million through nonprofit partners to create affordable housing. The home ownership program will back projects near the company's two headquarters sites in Seattle and Arlington, Virginia, as well as Nashville, Tennessee, which serves as a hub for Amazon's logistics group. The National Housing Trust will use Amazon's cash to acquire or build affordable homes in partnership with local organizations. Auto workers are now on the picket lines. This is a live look. We'll tell you how the strike could impact you here in North Carolina, whether you're in the market for a new car or just need to get yours fixed.
Also, some parents are very upset about a homework assignment on 9/11, but not everyone believes the teacher should lose their job. And as we head to break, a look at your winning North Carolina education lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Welcome back. This is a live look at Wentzville, Missouri. This is where members of the United Auto Workers are now on strike. That was the first General Motors plant, the employees there, to go on strike. The United Auto Workers strike has the potential to become one of the largest work stoppages in the past three decades.
And you know, Renee, we could all feel the effects of this strike. For example, the next time your car needs to go to the shop, or if you're in the market for a new one, WRAL's Kelsey Coffey explains the wide-ranging effect of this UAW strike.
If you're looking to buy a new car or get the one that you have right now fixed, this strike could impact you. NC State supply chain expert Robert Hanfield says one of the most immediate impacts we'll see from this strike are higher car prices. This could also impact car parts. If you own a Jeep, Chevy, GMC, or Ford, the next time you get your car serviced, some of the part shipments could be delayed. The last time something like this happened was back in 2019 when workers were on a month-long strike against General Motors. The longer these workers stay on strike, the higher prices could become.
If it starts to go into, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, they're going to start eating into their inventory. And then we're going to see prices go up dramatically, especially for used vehicles.
There's also a concern that this strike could cause a potential domino effect for other industries. Some of those industries include the freight industry, car dealerships, steel and aluminum foundries. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh. Police in two counties are working to piece together an apparent murder-suicide. This all started in Fayetteville, where a woman was found dead in a home last night. A short while later, authorities in Southern Pines found a man dead in a car from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Brett Neese in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker with how this all unfolded.
First, we now know the name of that woman who was found dead here in Fayetteville. Police say that 35-year-old Jessica Moore was shot and killed at this home off of Kentire Drive. These are a couple of pictures from the Fayetteville Police Department that they posted on their social media of that shooting scene. That played out around 10 o'clock last night. Then, less than an hour later, this scene played out on US 1 in Southern Pines. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker was there after police found a man who had shot himself. He was pronounced dead at that scene. Fayetteville police later confirmed that that's the man who they believe shot and killed Moore here in Fayetteville. I'm working to learn that man's name as well as what led up to that shooting here in Fayetteville. I'll keep you updated. In Fayetteville, Brittany, WRAL News.
Harnett County deputies have identified two men who were found dead inside a car on Main Street. Firefighters responded to a crash on Main Street in Lillington just before 11 o'clock. Investigators say both victims died from gunshot wounds. The driver was identified as Deshaun Martin, and the passenger was Rodriguez McNeil. Although it appears to be a targeted attack, the investigation is ongoing.
Raleigh leaders are standing by their decision to cancel the annual Christmas parade. Raleigh leaders denied the permit this year, saying it was out of an abundance of caution for parade participants and spectators. Officials also say their decision to not hold the big event is also out of respect for Haley Brooks' family. The 11-year-old girl was in the parade last year when she was hit and killed by an out-of-control pickup truck. Haley Brooks' family and some business owners say canceling this well-loved tradition was not the best decision.
Every time there's a huge event downtown or even super close like Dix Park, we get a lot of visitors from really all over the place. It's not just nearby, so it's always great to have something to like draw people into downtown.
Raleigh City officials plan to announce other holiday events and find ways to incorporate local businesses.
Investigators hope a car that was found burned in Cumberland County will help them find a man who has been missing since September 5th. Dunn Police and Harnett County Sheriff's Office have been searching on the ground and in the air for Tyrone Taylor. Taylor's family has also been searching. Dunn Police have not labeled the case suspicious, but we are pressing for updates. You can contact the Harnett County Sheriff's Office or Dunn Police if you have any information that could help.
The Fairgrounds Ideal Home Show is happening through the weekend. Show hours are today and tomorrow from 10 to 8 and Sunday from 11 to 6. Greg Conover from Southern Charm will be there today at 3 and tomorrow at 1 p.m. Tickets are $12 for adults and free for children 12 and under. Nearly $600 million up for grabs in tomorrow's Powerball jackpot. You can have a cash value of $290 million. Not a bad take-home, right? This is the third largest Powerball this year. You can watch the drawing live right here on WRAL before our 11 o'clock news at 11.
Still to come, confusion and outrage over a bizarre homework assignment to fifth graders, mentioning cocaine, prostitution, and police brutality, how school leaders responded.
And a Kentucky couple denied a marriage license because their relationship went against a clerk of court's beliefs, gets a huge payout, the six-figure vindication after an eight-year wait. Welcome back. As you look live at Fayetteville, more specifically our Fayetteville Bureau there right off Hay Street, thank you so much for watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
Former Spanish Football Federation chief Luis Rubiales is banned from contacting soccer star Jennifer Hermoso following an hour-long hearing in Madrid over the World Cup kiss. Rubiales appeared at Spain's national court in Madrid today, where he denied any wrongdoing. The judge also banned him from coming within 650 feet of Hermoso. The judge launched a criminal investigation into suspected sexual assault after a formal complaint was made by prosecutors. A federal judge has awarded $100,000 to a Kentucky couple whose marriage license was delayed by former county clerk Kim Davis. Davis drew international attention when she was briefly jailed in 2015 over her refusal to process the license. She said her decision was based on her belief that marriage should only be between a man and a woman. A judge ruled that Davis violated the couple's constitutional rights. The U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal from Davis's lawyers.
A Long Island teacher has been removed from the classroom after complaints about a fifth grade homework assignment. The teacher posed a hypothetical question. Nuclear war is near, and you can only choose six people to hide in a bunker. Who would you pick? Among the choices, a police officer with multiple charges of brutality, a 38-year-old retired prostitute, and a 50-year-old formerly addicted to cocaine. Reaction to the teacher's punishment was split depending on who you ask.
A teacher, you know, giving such an assignment to children.
We were both retired teachers.
Okay.
You know, so we certainly wouldn't want somebody to get fired over making a poor decision one time.
The principal got a lot of pressure and yielded to the pressure.
Well, the school principal issued a statement saying, in part, this assignment violated all of these criteria and has no place in our classrooms. We condemn this type of material in the strongest possible terms.
An update here in the WRL Live Center about that UAW strike. We've been watching video of workers striking around the country. President Biden now saying that automakers should go further in raising wages. He said from the White House that record corporate profits should result in record wage hikes for the UAW workers. And President Biden says that he is dispatching Acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu and White House Senior Advisor Gene Sperling to Detroit to help in those negotiations. Stay with us. Meteorologist Kat Campbell has a look at your weekend rain chances coming up.
Welcome back. Here's a live look at Goldsboro. Look at all that sunshine out there. It feels 74 degrees, and it is 74 degrees. And you see a little bit of a breeze there rocking the camera, but it feels so nice, more like fall, Ken.
Loving every minute of it. You know, September is Neighborhood Month. Today, the Neighborhood Enrichment Division will host a special event to increase neighbor-to-neighbor participation and cultivate our neighborhoods from the inside out. We're so happy to have Grady Bussey with the Neighborhood Enrichment Division joining us live to talk about it. And first of all, tell us where you are right now.
Hey, good afternoon, Ken. I'm currently here at the Carolina Pines Community Center. Thank you guys for such wonderful weather today. We are getting set up to have an extraordinary event later on this evening.
You know, Grady, we always say it takes a village, and sometimes we've gotten away from that. So that's why this event is so important. So tell us how the Good Neighbor Month and how the city of Raleigh is going to support this effort.
Yeah, so all around the country, neighborhoods are getting together and celebrating community. There are people are doing cookouts to block parties and just walking around in their community just to get to know their neighbors. You know, City of Raleigh has been known all around the country as being one of the greatest places to work and to play. But the most important aspect is the fact that we have great neighbors. And so the City of Raleigh Housing and Neighborhood Department has put on this event called Raleigh Neighborhood Exchange for the last 19 years. to give the ability for communities to come together, get to know each other, as well as find out all of the programs the city of Raleigh offers its citizens.
And it's so nice when you can say to your neighbor, hey, I'm going out of town, can you watch the dog? I'm going out of town, take a look at my house. So what should people expect? What should the public expect with this whole event?
Yeah, so I tell you, Ken, every year we go higher and higher and create new expectations to provide something unique for the public. Today we will have activities for your young people. We have a Kenyan acrobats that are coming. Yes, Kenyan acrobats are going to come out and do something really, really unique. We'll also have a drumline that's present. The neighborhood theme this year is cultivating community through culture. Mm. So we're creating this ambiance where people can learn about culture, learn about your neighbors, and figure out new ways to learn and get have a new experience with those that they actually share community with.
Yeah. I remember meeting one of my neighbors recently, and they said, oh, I didn't know you from the Virgin Islands. I'm like, that's what this is all about, getting to know your neighbor. Really quickly, exactly. How can people get more information about the event?
Yeah, so what you want to do is you want to get on our website at raleighnc.gov/ community and neighborhood. And you'll be able to see all the information about Raleigh Exchange. Also, we are giving out free food for the first 250 people that come out. So this is not a place to be fashionably late. Come on out, get a good meal. I'm talking to my cousins.
Free is always good.
But it's going to be a great experience, and you want to come out. You don't want to miss this thing.
Yeah, Grady, all the best, and thank you for everything you're doing to just help us to get to know our neighbors.
Yes, sir. I'll see you soon.
Take care. Renee.
Bye.
Speaking of cultivating communities, Durham is cultivating the arts. Centerfest Arts Festival returns to the heart of downtown tomorrow. It's a fine arts festival featuring dozens of artist booths and performance stages. Admission is free. There is a $5 suggested donation if you can. It's happening tomorrow from 10 to 6 and Sunday from 11 to 5. WRL is a proud community partner. And the weather should cooperate just fine for all those outdoor festivals. Meteorologist Kat Campbell now with a look at these temperatures. This is perfect. It's what we've been waiting for.
I mean, if you haven't had lunch yet, get an outdoor table, sit outside. It is just such a gorgeous day today. The crisp feel to the air, all thanks to lower dew points, drier air. 73 in Durham. The Bulls are in town tonight. So if you're looking for something to do to get outside on a Friday night, baseball should be perfect. First pitch, 6:35. And in Raleigh at Dix Park, there is the USA Today Food and Wine Festival. That's why they've got all the tents set up. 76 degrees in Fayetteville at this hour. So much happening this weekend, and it's just a perfect weekend to be outside, at least on Saturday. Let's talk about your Football Friday forecast. You know, just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about temperatures in the upper 90s, too dangerous for players to be outside. Just a totally different story. It's finally feeling like fall football weather. Kickoff temperatures should be around the mid-70s this evening. And throughout the game, temperatures are going to be falling into the 60s. Not a bad idea to have a hoodie on hand tonight if you're itching to break it out for the season. Let's talk lows. Temperatures tonight will be the coolest of the next week. So enjoy tonight if you're a fan of the fall weather. We should get down to 52 in Durham, 54 in Raleigh, 51 in Wilson, 50 in Roanoke Rapids. Roxborough could be in the upper 40s, as well as Siler City. Some of our more rural communities could fall that low. We have 52 for the low in Smithfield, 56 in Fayetteville, 51 degrees in Robbins tonight. Your weekend looks pretty nice to start. Mostly sunny Saturday, a high of 86. However, on Sunday, we are going to have a chance for some scattered thunderstorms. Those should arrive late in the afternoon, closer to dinner time and later. So just try to get those plans in early before the rain arrives. Saturday, though, looking great. I know there are so many football games happening around the Triangle. If you are headed out to get some tailgating in, temperatures should be in the 70s before lunchtime, and then after that, we're in the 80s for the early afternoon. Look at the morning temperatures, though. 54 at 6 a.m., 56 at 8 a.m. If you're a fan of the cooler weather, try to get out and about early. And we've got the St. Jude Walk and Run happening Saturday. WRAL is a proud sponsor of the event. 9 a.m., 62 degrees by 10 a.m. 70 and 75 at 11 a.m. Should be a really, really nice day out there. The mountains do have the chance for some rain as we head into tomorrow. It's not going to be a washout. It's not going to be widespread. Just a few hit or miss pop-up showers. Sunday is when the mountains are likely to see rain and storms. And those arrive pretty early in the day on Sunday for the mountains. If you're headed to the beach tomorrow, beware of the rip current threat. But boy, it is going to be beautiful to lay out on the sand. Just don't get in the water because of the rip currents. Low to mid 80s ahead for Sunday. And that chance for rain doesn't really arrive at the coast until Sunday night. For us, our only opportunity for rain on our 7-day forecast at this point comes on Sunday. Other than that, we've got high temperatures in the 80s. Next week, the humidity stays low. It looks like a really nice September week coming up next week.
Kat, thank you. An illuminating sight caught near California's ocean blue. Ahead, the pretty picture tourists captured with the dolphins.
Welcome back. You're looking at a very sunny North Hills. It's going to be a beautiful fall weekend. Anything outdoors will be just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, we're not even 80 degrees. Feels so nice out there. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. A Moore County deputy killed a man accused of making threats with a knife. Deputies responded to Pine Top Drive in the West End neighborhood around 6 last night after getting a call from a woman saying her son was outside armed with a knife. She also said her son told her he had killed the neighbor and was going after her other son. A deputy ordered the man to drop the knife. He instead began walking toward the deputy. The deputy then shot the man. The FBI is investigating.
Police in two counties are working to piece together an apparent murder-suicide. It started in Fayetteville, where a woman, Jessica Moore, was found dead in a home last night. A short while later, police in Southern Pines found a man who shot himself. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Police believe that man shot Moore.
Durham police say there was no credible threat against a local high school. Hillside High was placed on a brief lockdown this morning after a parent saw the threat on social media. No specific school was mentioned in that post. As a precaution, officers put the school on lockdown while they investigated. The lockdown was lifted 15 minutes later.
A historic production facility used in the iconic Star Wars film will be demolished. The industrial light and magic shop founded by George Lucas is set to be repurposed. The original soundstage is infamous in San Francisco. Some California residents oppose the move and say it's a tragic day for the filmmaking industry. Well, next week, high school students can get free access to Princeton Review's Tutoring Network. The free online tutoring platform will allow students to get help with homework during late night hours. The hotline will provide access to a team of experts in all subjects. It will run from September 19th through the 26th. Students can sign up at extragum.com/hotline.
A majestic sight off the coast of Orange County in California. Take a look as dolphins swim through the iridescent waves. It was such a photogenic moment, drawing in boats full of tourists. The phenomenon is said to be caused by photosynthetic plankton blooms. Nature never ceases to be amazing.
Absolutely. Our pet of the day comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. Muffin is a 2-year-old spayed female cat. Muffin gave birth to 7 beautiful kittens at the shelter, and all of them have been adopted. Now Muffin is looking for her own forever home. Muffin has FIV, which is a common condition affecting the immune system. With some minor precautions and regular vet care, she is expected to have a long, wonderful life. Contact the SPCA of Wake County to learn more about Muffin.
Today at 4, leaders in Moore County are getting creative in order to fill persisting teacher vacancies. How they are using virtual educators from New York and what it's costing the county. Ken, we've been staring at all these beautiful weather cameras looking at the gorgeous weather. We finally get to go out in it.
And it's lunchtime, and that means we, as Kat said, let's find an outdoor location and have a beautiful afternoon.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And of course, you can get breaking news updates anytime on the WRAL News app and the WRAL.com online. Have a great day and a wonderful weekend.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.